proceed to the second case of the day, Walsh v. Chez. Mr. Chesick.
Good morning, Your Honor. Excuse me if I have a little cold and my voice is a little scratchy. Counsel, please the court. This is a medical negligence case in the federal court under diversity. It has to do with the treatment and termination of treatment with a drug called prednisone to a two-year-old little boy who's given 50 milligrams of prednisone, which is a large dose of prednisone, on a daily basis. The effect of that drug is to suppress the production of cortisone by the child's own adrenal glands.
Actually, wasn't he about 4 or 5?
He was 2 originally. I'm sorry. I thought he was...
At the time of death, he was young, yeah.
You may be right, Your Honor. I thought it was 2, but I may be wrong.
No, the final autopsy says he was 5 at the age of death.
All right, well then, thank you. In either case, 50 milligrams to a man my size would be a large dose of prednisone. It is undisputed that the effect of prednisone is to suppress the child's own production of cortisone. And it is also undisputed, both from our experts as well as their experts and the defendant themselves, is that when you want to stop that drug, you taper it, to use their words, or you wean the child off of the drug, to use ours. And actually, this case, I think, is turning on the word wean and taper, because that is the standard of care. The standard of care is to not abruptly stop this drug because the child is no longer producing his own cortisone, but rather to gradually reduce the drug so that those adrenal glands can start producing the drug.
All right. So, Mr. Chesick,
the hormone.
There are a couple of issues here I think you need to address. One of them, and perhaps centrally, is why you think your experts' reports complied with the requirements of Rule 26A2B, because that was the crux of the district court's finding. She finds that they are insufficiently comprehensive, and I want you to talk about whether you think the problem was that the propositions in the reports were not developed enough, or whether the reports didn't cover enough topics.
No, I think it was...
She says there's not enough on standard of care.
Yeah, there are multiple ways to gradually reduce this drug. There are multiple protocols that could be instituted. It could be reduced to...
Right, and so let's look at 26. I mean, we're here to decide issues of law, and if the district court... I thought you argued in your brief that the district court expected too much, actually, from the expert reports, that once the expert's on the stand, he or she will elaborate on the statements made in the reports.
I think she believed that the specific standard of care had to be expressed in milligrams per day dosage schedule. And that, I think, is an incorrect understanding of the law, Your Honor. The law requires that we disclose that there was a breach in the standard of care, and the standard of care can be inferred from the breach itself, and, of course, causation and damages. In this case, when our experts reported that the standard of care, that the baby did not receive, the defendant didn't comply with the standard of care by failing to wean this child properly, that was an expression of the standard of care, and that's all that was required.
So, in other words, your position that under 26A2B, little subpart I, or as the Chief Justice is now saying, Romanet I, a complete statement of all opinions the witness will express and the basis and reasons for them, you're saying that when you take the reports and perhaps the supplemental reports prior to the Rule 59E, which we'll disregard for now, is enough for this rule.
Yes, it is.
But the district court thought that there wasn't enough on standard of care, and the district court also was concerned that there were some internal contradictions between the experts.
Not regarding this. Both Dr. Chavitz and Dr. Tucker both articulate very clearly that standard of care was breached by the failure to properly wean this child, gradually reduce the dose. That going from 50 milligrams a day to none for 2 days and then none for three days was not within the, and there are numerous ways that you could have gradually done this. This did not fulfill any one of those.
So in other words, I suppose one way you can read these reports is to say whatever this was, it wasn't weaning.
That's correct.
It was abrupt.
Exactly, and that's exactly what the testimony was. This abrupt cessation of the prednisone for 2 days, then one dose given, then for 3 days, was not weaning. That was an abrupt cessation, which is a violation of the standard of care.
Okay,
so isn't that translated into there are numerous standards of care?
There are numerous.
Isn't that what you're saying?
There are numerous gradual ways you could do that which would be within the standard of care as to weaning. This is not one of them.
You're saying there's
That's
only
correct.
One standard of care, which is to wean, and there are numerous ways to achieve
exactly
that.
Exactly. I don't think the court really understood weaning was a gradual reduction, and there are multiple ways to do that. I think she thought that there had to be an expressed, articulated, this is a schedule that must be used. But that is not the standard of care here. We provided in the supplemental report, which...
Well, there must be some schedules that are better than others, aren't there?
Well, actually, there are multiples.
They're all equivalent?
There are multiple that meet the standard of care, Your Honor. That's correct. This was not a wean.
You should have said that. Why didn't you say that?
Well, I think we did.
Experts say that.
Well, Your Honor, I think what clearly, they made it clear that this was not one of those, that this was an abrupt cessation that did not meet the...
Well, what's not abrupt? I mean, specifically, what's... Well, how do you draw the line between abrupt and not abrupt?
Well, I think that's what would be... Well, whether it's 50 million... One schedule would be 50, 40, 30, 20 over a six-week period, over a four-week period. And even Dr. Chez, in his own 26A2 report, indicates that his approach is to taper this on a daily basis and then go to every other day. But taper down on a daily basis, that's not what was done even by his own. It is not really an issue as to whether the standard of care requires a taper or a gradual reduction. I think that is clear from their reports as well as ours. The issue here in this case is stopping this drug for 2 days and then giving it one and then stopping it for 3 days. Is that an abrupt cessation that meets the standard of care? And that's...
That's not a statement of the standard of care, though, is it?
The standard of care is to...
What is not the standard of care.
But they made the statement. The statement is to taper or gradually reduce or wean. That's the standard of care. The fact that
there are... abrupt, Mr. Chesney, mean you ended? It wasn't ended here.
For this child's body, it was ended.
As I understand it, for a day, then they resumed it.
They stopped it for 2 days, then they gave a dose, then they stopped it for three days.
Well, what is the time frame of the weaning? And is do these reports speak to weight and age? And I mean, when we're talking about a baseline, shouldn't it incorporate... the capacity of the body to absorb whatever the weaning process is?
I think you could go into a lot more detail, but I don't think it's necessary in order to... the purpose of this is to apprise the other side of what the testimony is going to be.
Now, and the defendants never noticed these people's depositions?
Now, this case had a strange procedural history. It was originally filed and worked up in Pennsylvania and transferred here, and that's when I got involved. No depositions were taken other than those of the parties. And, in fact, we were not even apprised that...
So I have a question about that. There's a motion in limine at this conference, and the last paragraph or so of the motion in limine says, and by the way, if you grant this motion, we're also moving for summary judgment. Does anybody ever file Rule 56.1 statements in support of summary judgment or oppositions?
No, we're not filed. That's correct.
So there's no development of actually the summary judgment record in this case?
That's correct. Not at all. And that's that goes to the third part of our brief here. I think that the dismissal of this case was highly improper. I mean, this was, the epitome of placing form over substance. There's no question that the defendants here, and if you look at their own expert reports, all recognize that this is an issue of abrupt cessation versus tapering or weaning. And there was no surprise there, especially given the background of the procedural background. I think that this was an extraordinary action to not allow the subsequent filing of even more detail. There could be no end to the amount of detail you could put in these reports, Your Honors. But this one, all of these, taken in their in context, they clearly indicate to the defendants that the issue here is that the standard of care was breached by this abrupt cessation after having 8 weeks of being on massive doses of prednisone. Their defense in the case was to other areas, whether it was causation and conduct of the family and terminating life support and such. But as far as this is a big surprise to us when they argue this. There was no Daubert discussions during this case. That's really not an issue because they themselves recognize and identify that tapering of this drug is the standard of care. So I think this is a drastic remedy which was really depriving this family of their day in court. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bahaya?
May it please the Court, Mr. Chesnut. What Judge Gottschall did was give them a warning shot. She fired one at them, and she didn't have to do that. When we filed...
She did have to do that if she was going to dismiss on this basis. And I have two concerns about the procedural handling of this case. One of them is whether her assumption that an expert report, as opposed to a deposition or as opposed to the weight of evidence at trial, needs to back up the expert's opinion as thoroughly as she seemed to think. And the second thing that concerns me is this summary judgment point. You didn't even really make a motion. You had at the last part of your motion in limine a request for summary judgment, but there's never any process at all under Rule 56.1, the local rules of the district court here. And so there's never any ability on both sides' parts to flesh out what's their evidence on each of the important elements of the case. You know, what are they going to support it with? So those, at a minimum, are concerns that I have about the way this was handled.
I understand, Judge. We filed our motion in limine attacking the sufficiency of the report. We were relying on those reports. And the reports did not meet the requirements of 26A2.
Why not? I mean, what is it that you couldn't figure out about the standard of care? Prednisone is a drug that you need to taper off. You don't go from 50 milligrams to zero in a day. Certainly not and then follow up with zero on a second day. I mean, you might take issue with that. You may have other experts. You may say that that's bad science. I mean, you may say a lot of things about it, but what is it that you didn't get about that?
We did not get an opinion and definition of the baseline standard of care.
Why do you need that when all you need to say is you don't abruptly stop prednisone?
Because everything else is conclusory. Unless the physicians can...
So you cross-examine the physician. You have the physician's opinion. That's his opinion, that this failed to meet the standard of care. The basis and reasons for it, these doctors were pediatricians who, one of them was an emergency care pediatrician. They worked with prednisone. They said they had lots of patients. I can certainly see your concern perhaps going to the weight of the evidence, but I don't see how it goes to the admissibility. And I particularly don't see how it goes to the admissibility if the only point you're really making is that there's an additional point that needs to come in. It's like if there are 4 points and the expert report covers 1, 2, and 3, you say, well, we're going to exclude the whole report because it didn't also address 4.
I think the court was following the Donai decision from this court,
sure.
And which articulates that a definitive baseline standard of care needs to be articulated in the
but
report.
But it also says you can infer that.
I don't believe their report in any way suggests a baseline standard of care. There was no disclosure of what the weaning dose is.
Why do you need a weaning dose when it's clear here that it goes from 50 to 0?
It didn't go from 50 to 0.
Yes, it did.
What
it went
does,
from 50 to 0 for 2 days, and then there's 50, and then there's 3 days at 0.
It's called. It was articulated as
pulse.
A pulse dose.
I know it.
Right.
And that's 50 to 0 for 2 days.
Right. And so it was a weaning where they were reducing the amount. And
wow.
What the experts needed to articulate in their report was what does the standard of care require in a circumstance of a five-year-old who weighs X amount of pounds or kilograms, who has autism, where they're treating them with this type of a medication?
The autism has nothing to do with this, actually. It's all about how does a human body respond to prednisone.
So the reports did not articulate in any fashion that these physicians were able to say that under the circumstances of this type of a condition or patient, how much prednisone the patient should get, at what point in time, how many milligrams, and that would be in compliance with the standard of care. All they articulated to us was basically that he deviated from the standard of care because there was a complete cessation of steroids. And then there was no articulation as to the causation element either.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm just looking at one of Dr. Tucker's.
What do you say to his words? To his claim that there are numerous ways of weaning and there isn't any standard of care, basically, what he said.
There may be numerous ways of weaning, but there has to be a standard of care because he has to be able to establish, one, what the baseline is, two, that there was a breach by the defendant, and three, that breach was approximate cause.
But he's saying the baseline isn't this. So, for example, Dr. Tucker, page 831, says a long-term daily dose of 50 milligrams of prednisone in a 45-pound child would suppress the endogenous production of cortisone. Goes on and says, you know, this is too fast. That means this isn't the standard of care.
But he doesn't say what it should be. When he says it's too fast, that's conclusory. We never had an articulation in any report as to what did he mean by too fast? How fast should it be?
He died it from it. I mean, that's what he's saying. It's so fast that it's lethal.
Are you suggesting in the weaning there has to be a range for the baseline? Or will you allow for a baseline to have a range?
Yeah, you allow for the baseline to have a range. But it has to be articulated. We have to know what these experts are going to say the standard of care required.
But when you say weaning, if you understand weaning to mean gradually going down, then going down a bumpy way, 50 to 0 to 0 to 50 to 0 to 0 to 0, is not gradual.
Well, that goes to the issue of their interpretation of it. And what he did was he actually cut the dose in half. Ironically, when the child was brought to the hospital, they actually started up the steroids again
as to the original dose. Because he desperately needed more steroids. He'd cut it way too fast.
That was interesting because
to say that going down is wrong doesn't say that going up is at all inconsistent.
When they actually came in, when the child came into the emergency room, I'm sure you'll recall this from the evidence, they actually drew labs. And
I know, and they had already given him an IV drip of prednisolone, which is the IV form. So, of course, it had gone up.
I think that what the court was looking at was an appropriate evaluation and interpretation of 26A2 that requires, as does the Donai case articulate and other cases from this court, that you have to articulate the baseline standard of care. You can't just summarily say that here's how it should be done and he breached the standard of care.
Where does it say that? I'm looking at 26A2B Romanet 1. And doesn't really say that. It just says a complete statement of all opinions the witness will express and the basis and reasons for them.
In order to establish the standard of care, to articulate it as an expert in a medical malpractice case, you have to be able to define what the standard of care is. And I'm actually looking at the Donai decision before the court at 232 F3rd 595. It says Kraft did not state a definitive baseline standard of care. And the only issue in the present case is whether they committed medical malpractice. Therefore, Donai must first establish an accepted standard of care. They didn't do that in this case. And I think that the district court...
Well, that's the question, actually. I understand that's your answer to the question. But the question is, did, in the aggregate, the expert reports that were submitted by the plaintiff establish the standard of care, show that this was not, that this was inconsistent with the standard of care and thus implicitly establish it? So if you say in the information case, you failed to tell the psychologist what's been going on, you failed to do this, you failed to do that, this court has said that tells you the standard of care, even though it's phrased in terms of the failure.
The reports talk about general principles common to all physicians who prescribe prednisone. Very general principles. I remember one of the reports even articulated, I think it was Tucker, who said he had to talk to other people and then incorporated some hearsay information into
the
report.
Well, but, you know, obviously you remember that under the federal rules of evidence, if you're qualified as an expert, you're allowed to rely on other people, bases of opinion testimony by experts, Rule 703. It's perfectly okay if this is the type of information reasonably relied on by experts in the field.
The report,
doctors do talk to other doctors.
If you take a look at the reports, they are summarily conclusory, without substance.
I did read the reports very carefully. I'm not sure they're quite as summary as you say.
I think that the court also, the lower court also looked at them as carefully and felt that they did not give the defense the appropriate information, not notice,
how
but specific information.
How can we think that when we look at the expert reports filed on your behalf, which are directly responsive to the theory of the plaintiff's case? Doesn't that suggest that you knew, in fact, what you were defending against?
The issue is not notice, Judge. The issue is, do their reports articulate
a specific
standard of care?
What's the issue, then? Are we doing this in a grand exercise of formality?
No, we're not. We took a look at their reports, and the plaintiffs themselves admitted during the very first hearing, I'm sure you'll recall the record, on August 8th, in response to our motion, they admitted their reports failed to articulate the baseline standard of care.
They didn't. You're making more of that in their reply brief. They suggest you're making much more of that.
Yeah, I mean, we attached the transcript. It was right in there where they say, we know the reports are deficient. They asked for time over our objection to amend them. They were given time. Didn't do it timely. Came in again and asked for more time. We're granted that.
Deadline came, by the way. But
yes,
anyway.
The day before
why
the deadline. Yes, Judge.
Weren't the supplemental reports responsive to the judge's request?
Because, number one, they actually changed some of the theories.
Well, they changed things, yes.
And so that was new.
They established a standard of care, didn't they?
They did not, Judge. In their supplemental reports, they did not establish a standard of care. They didn't articulate what the baseline is. They can't simply say that under certain circumstances, you might want to give this much prednisone, and therefore that's the standard of care. You need to articulate exactly what the standard of care required. That's the first step, and that's why they failed, and that's why...
Why isn't what you just said a standard of care if you specify how much is required?
Judge, they don't actually specify. They don't disclose what the weaning...
The standard of care is pretty elusive, it seems to me.
In all of the medical malpractice cases, the standard of care has to be articulated under a specific set of facts as to what it requires. They don't disclose what the weaning schedule would have been, how much of the drug should have been given, at what point in time. They give very conclusory statements. So they never articulated with specifics
why
as to what it
should have been.
Why
wouldn't that simply have gone to the weight of the evidence at trial as opposed to its admissibility?
Because
they say, you know, 50 to, you know, the exact kind of pulse system fails to meet the standard of care, and you would have said, well, you know, what about, you know, going from 50 to 10? You know, would that have been okay? Or, you know, what? Why didn't you look at, you know, the weights of, or how quickly the child's own adrenal glands would recover from these massive doses?
It doesn't, you don't look at it just going to the weight versus admissibility.
Oh, you
I don't
do.
Think,
That's one
I
of
think,
the questions you ask.
I think that the argument and issue before the court can get to weight versus admissibility is, does the report, which the defense has the right to rely upon, in its four corners articulate all of the testimony and opinions the witness is going to proffer,
it's just a pretrial disclosure report. I mean, I'm worried about what you're making out of this Rule 26A disclosure when you're insisting it has nothing to do with notice, which is a surprise to me, actually. It's to avoid having the trial be, you know, a game.
26A2 contemplates that the reports will contain all the opinions and basis thereof to avoid the need for additional discovery should the parties choose to do that. And their reports failed. And the judge gave them another chance to fix the report and found that they hadn't complied with that.
It doesn't say that, actually, in 26A2. It doesn't say the purpose of this rule is to avoid the need for extra discovery. Indeed, it leaves open the possibility for follow-up discovery.
The case law that's interpreted 26A2 that we cited in our brief did and has held that these expert reports are required to be complete to avoid the need for depositions.
Do you feel there has to be a definition of gradual or weaning contained in the baseline?
Yes.
And how specific would that have to be?
Specific enough to address this factual scenario. Specific enough to say the standard of care required, hypothetically, that the child prednisone dose be reduced by X amount of milligrams per day to comply with the standard of care under this factual scenario.
So that suppose they put baseline. The Webster's definition of the verb to wean in their report. Would that have done it?
No.
Why not?
Because it still didn't give the baseline standard of care. It's giving a definition.
But it would show that that's not what happened here.
It may not. It may not.
Oh, I think it would show if you put the definition in. Now, maybe weaning is wrong, but that's their opinion that you have to wean.
I think that in response to the judge's question, they needed to articulate what the standard of care required, not simply just say they breached the standard of care, they cut them off too fast.
So what if somebody accidentally cuts off the wrong leg? And so a doctor says cutting off the wrong leg fails to meet the standard of care. By your logic, you would exclude that expert report because it doesn't say something about, well, here's the way to figure out the right leg. You know, you need to have the ID on the patient, and you need to read the chart, and you need to figure that out. Isn't it just as effective to say they cut the wrong leg off?
No, Judge. In fact, it'd probably be a res ipsa count. Your argument would be a res ipsa count, I presume, if they argue that.
I'm just trying to focus on what you want the expert report to say, and I think it's absurd to think that you need to start talking about ID bracelets and the like if a doctor comes in and testifies it fails to meet the standard of care if you cut off the wrong leg.
In questioning in any of these malpractice cases, the first question you would ask the expert after you qualify them is what's your understanding of the definition of standard of care and what is the standard of care in a situation like this? Once that's articulated, what is the standard of care? You then had the opportunity to review the facts of this case, the evidence. Is that correct? Yes. Did the doctor comply with the standard of care to a reasonable degree of medical certainty? Yes or no? Why not? What is the basis? They jumped to the end. They didn't give us the first part. And that's what the case law articulates they're required to do, and that's why the judge appropriately struck their reports after a second attempt and then dismissed the case. And we're asking that this court affirm that.
Back to the second attempt, I think that attempted to be responsive to the second. It was thrown, but then the case was thrown out on a different ground. Was that appropriate?
The case was thrown out after the court struck the reports as being insufficient. And without having reports and experts, they couldn't meet their burden of proof. I think it was completely appropriate.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chesick.
Thank you, Your Honor. Although, in fact, the word baseline does not appear in any of either 26A or in any of the reports. When the judge asked whether this met the baseline, what our attorney indicated is it didn't meet the baseline because it didn't say the specific dosages that apparently she thought it was. But as again, we don't think that it needed to further the analogy that I was going to use before. You used the cutting off the wrong leg. If this were a case of giving a drug to which the patient was allergic, I don't think the report would have to say the standard of care is not to give a drug that the patient is allergic to. It would be sufficient for the expert report to say they breached the standard of care by giving this drug to which she was allergic. If it's a case of a retained sponge, I don't think a report has to say the standard of care is to take out all the sponges that you put in. It would be sufficient, and it could be inferred, which is what the Chambers and the Chambers.
Mr. Chesick, should there not be at least a specificity as to the range? So they know that if 50 to 0 on the next day is wrong, that the range ought to be 50 to 30. Shouldn't some guideline be set out so that the defense can meet?
If in the normal course of affairs this were started in Illinois, depositions would have been taken, those questions would have been asked, and they would have been expressed. I mean, the purpose of this report is to fully apprise. It is discovery, and it is notice, contrary to counsel's position. It's so that there is no surprise. And when we reported that it requires a gradual reduction, a weaning, I'm using those interchangeably, that put them on notice. And as their own reports indicate, that wasn't a surprise to them. Whether a different schedule would have been okay, there were many different schedules that would be okay. This one wasn't even close. This one was.
But we know. How are we to know it's not close if we don't have two or three acceptable ones?
Because of the plain and ordinary meanings of the word wean, both in. And that's just not a medical term. I mean, if you go to Webster's, Stedman's is what we cited in the brief, but if you just go to Webster's, wean means to gradually reduce. I mean, it's not a term of art.
Do we need to know that weaning means you don't skip a day? Well, because I suspect there might be a situation where if you wean over 2 months, you might skip a day. I don't know, but I'm just trying to frame it in a way that we can be reasonable in interpreting what the judge did below.
Right. I don't think it's capable of that kind of precision, Your Honor, because there are so many reasonable ways to do this. This one was not one of those, and that was fully disclosed. That it should have been adequate. I think this is really raising form over substance. There were multiple ways to if this was really a concern, a deposition could have been taken. I was stunned that. We gave in the supplemental report, a dosage schedule, but that would be only one. That's not the only one that could be used. And that's why this case is a little bit different, because it's not don't give penicillin to somebody who's allergic to penicillin.
Well, thank you, Chesick.
Thank you.
Our thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.